When I got to California, I started meditating. And then I started to realize some patterns in my life. I had patterns in relationships from age 15 to 27 with women. And the pattern was around the 18-month mark, I would start to become super jealous. So when I started meditating, I was like, you know what? I want to heal this. I don't want to be jealous. I don't want to chase relationships away, especially when I'm in love with the person, because I felt like it was out of control. And it was. So I sought after someone that could help me, and I was lucky enough to found somebody in Sedona, Arizona. And I sat down with this guy, and within 5 minutes of sitting down with him, a deep cellular memory surfaced from my body from when I was 5 years old. And I was watching my parents argue the same exact way I argued with all my girlfriends. So my father was grinding his teeth and clenching his fists. My mother was like wild yelling. My father was yelling. And this was the exact same blueprint of all of my jealous rages with all of my girlfriends. So that was an eye-opening experience. That happened in 5 minutes of talking to this gentleman. And then all the jealousy started to surface from my body, and I was feeling it viscerally while I'm talking to him.
Welcome back to your weekly dose of transformation. Transform you, family, my transformers. Grab your notebook, your favorite beverage, and get ready to dive deep into real talk, actionable steps, and a whole lot of heart. I'm your guy, Marcus Hart.
Sometimes the greatest transformations begin within ourselves. My guest today, Brett Cotter, he understands this firsthand. He had his own journey of healing. He dedicated his life to helping others release pain and live life to the fullest. He brings his wisdom to veterans, corporations, and communities worldwide. He offers a compassionate blend of techniques for lasting change. If you're searching for answers and inspiration, this interview is for you. Welcome to the show, Mr. Cotter.
Thank you so much for having me, Marcus, and really grateful and honored to be on with you. Thank you for your service and all your efforts to continue to help our veterans in the day in and day out.
Thank you. And you know, it's definitely an honor to be before you today. You're doing amazing work. And, you know, I like to always ask people, you know, how was the introduction that I gave you?
I loved it. It was great. I think it was a, you know, perfect, you know, snapshot of the things I'm passionate about and, you know, what I've done.
So being that I gave you the introduction, I would definitely like to hear an introduction in your own words.
Yeah. So I was born and raised in Queens, got into this work when I was 27 while I was living in California. That was in 1999. And right in the beginning of my path, I found a process and a healing energy from within myself that helps heal trauma and old traumatic memories from the inside out, where you actually feel the old pains leave emotionally and kind of break free from the old memory. So when you refer back to that original trauma, your body doesn't go through that stress response. So ever since then, I've been working on honing that healing process within myself and then sharing it, you know, with others. And then in 2015, I published the book, The Three Keys to Managing PTSD, dedicated that book to my father, who passed away the year before that. He was a Marine, a Vietnam veteran, and then a New York City firefighter. He did have a lot of PTSD. A little bit of my story. My childhood, my mother and my father got divorced when I was six. He had a lot of PTSD from his childhood, from military service, and then also the stuff he saw, you know, in the firehouse. So later in our lives, you know, as grown-up men, we really connected in the last 10 years of his life. We were really on the same page. And there were times I was having a tough day and he would just call me out of the blue and say, "Hey, son, I was thinking about you. Are you having an okay day? You know, are you doing all right?" And those would be on those days where no one else was calling. And, you know, it was just really a tough moment. And that would happen. That probably happened 5 times. Like, me and him really felt connected towards the end there. And then in my process of writing the book, there was a whole healing process that took about 6 months for me to really open up and let go of all the pain of that loss, to reopen my heart to him and to feel reconnected with him. And that is something that I reap the benefits from to this day. He's come to me in over 30 dreams. I feel like he's with me all the time. And yeah, I feel like me and him on a soul level, we're in a very good place right now.
That's truly incredible. And I think the inner battle is something that many people can resonate with, because a lot of times we wrestle, you know, back and forth with like some of the traumas that we have experienced as a child, and then sometimes we take on like some of the things that like we see our family members dealing with. You know, for you, your father, you know, I can resonate with that myself. You know, have had a father. My dad, I had to see struggle with some things. I didn't lose my father, you know, and that's a different type of trauma that you have to deal with. We talked about that on the other side, and just to slightly pivot, but you know, we still kind of like, you know, along the lines of this conversation, and we can see how your story can really help a lot of people, specifically veterans struggling with overwhelming stress or PTSD. It feels like there's no way out. You know, can you describe what that inner battle might feel like for someone who's never experienced it before?
So I feel like every person's unique, every veteran's unique. What veterans go through is super unique. I'm not a veteran, but since 2005, I think, was the first time I actually worked with a veteran, you know, intimately, in understanding their stress. And then since the book was published, I've been working a lot with veterans. I'm an empath, so I feel the emotions, right? And it just depends on the type of that was originally compacted that's creating the PTSD, right? So all of our stress has vibrations. And then the way the mind works in the body, we compact those experiences, and then it goes into the subconscious, and those emotions store inside the body. So a lot of the veterans that come to me, they feel overwhelmed with anxiety, flashbacks, right? And the emotions have us feel trapped sometimes. And they know, they feel like they are in a survival situation, and they know they're not in a survival situation, but that's what it feels like. And I feel like the training that veterans have to go through, and then all of the life and death situations that they experience moving through that, and that's like whether they're in combat or not, it is damaging to like our ability to perceive and be in the environment, and to expect somebody to go through that level of training and then experience of near life and death situations and seeing it all around us, to expect them just to kind of go back into the way of being. It's almost like having a Ferrari that runs on nitrous oxide that goes on like a quarter mile track, and then saying, okay, now you're going to take that Ferrari and drive it across country, right? From New York to California, and you're going to floor it, pedal to the metal. What's going to happen? You know, some part in the motor is going to blow by the time you get to Ohio. Not even, right? Probably by the time you get out of New York State. So this is all about, for me, going into the tension, going into the pain, allowing it all to surface. And what I found is, whether I'm with a veteran or not, when you are there and you're connected and there's four eyeballs on the pain, so like myself, I'm mirroring and reflecting back to you, and you're sharing everything that you went through with me, and I'm still with you right there in that moment, and we're just unearthing all the feelings, the pain, the tragedy, the guilt, the anxiety, the panic, everything that's in the memory and everything that's in your body. And there's no cover-ups. We're just letting it like steam coming or smoke coming out the chimney. There's no blockages. We're just letting it go, almost like a volcano just coming up. What happens is all those emotions stay inside, and it's like we cap the volcano. And what happens? When that happens, the mountain blows out the side because the lava has to come out. So all I do is teach veterans how to express the pain, how to unlock and release it from their body, and then how to reground with clarity inside their own body, with the ultimate goal of becoming comfortable in your own skin again. So whether you're on your couch, whether you're with your kids, whether you just got triggered at work, whatever the situation is, you know that you're okay, regardless of what you're feeling in that moment, because you could always get back to clarity and that grounded sense of just really being in your body. So I just help people. It's almost like if you went on a big trip and you have a lot of luggage, I just help people unpack all that stuff. And the luggage I help them unpack is the stuff that no one wants to go near, the stuff that we've been avoiding. But it's almost like anything in our lives, like something in the fridge that we avoid throwing out or letting go of, it just starts to rot and it becomes toxic. So that's what happens with these old memories that just stay down there. They kind of just circulate. They cause chaos because our mind is always trying to vent out that old energy. And that's where, you know, a car backfiring, you know, our bodies will react like it's gunfire. When we're interacting with a traffic cop or have to go to, you know, court or dealing with any authority figure, that could be very triggering. You know, coming home to our spouse, that could be very triggering. Dealing with our kids, that could be very triggering because things feel out of our control. So I help veterans and civilians as well let go of the desire to control things and all of the pain that's built up over the years throughout our lives. And what I found, you know, through working with veterans is we spend more time in their childhood stuff with dealing with their mom, their dad, than hashing through the combat stuff. So we really go into the formative years because that's where our issues really began. And then when we clean up the formative years, it's a lot easier to hash through all the things that we went through in our teenage years, our 20s and our 30s. But it's really letting go of some of those old core beliefs around fear, that we're disconnected from love, around panic, and then just really reconnecting with what we're really made of. So I guess that's kind of like a summary of what a veteran may feel, right? That feeling of being trapped in the emotions without having the answers, without being able to talk to somebody, feeling all alone in it, right? And then kind of summarizing the service that I do, where I meet the veteran, right where they're at. And then we just start opening and unpacking.
That's really amazing. And you really touched a lot of pain points there that, you know, I can truly resonate with, as myself as a veteran. You know, I'm sitting back here, you know, I said, man, that's giving me like, you know, really that feeling of deja vu, like, you know, like, and I can really see how you guide some of the people you have worked with, you know, from point A to point B. You know, it's a really good logical way of helping people take a deep dive into those different areas of ailing points that's really hurting them the most, that's really suppressing. And I really like that metaphor of the Ferrari. Yeah, because I can just see the check engine light, you know, coming on immediately. And, you know, that's what a lot of us go through. That check engine light, I'm thinking about the panic attacks. I'm thinking about everything that I have went through in my life. And it's really eye-opening. And speaking of the spark of transformation, you know, you mentioned, you know, being inspired by your own healing journey. Was there a key moment? And you talk of the key moment, you know, but was there truly a key moment when you knew helping others overcome trauma was your calling?
from the first session I experienced. So I'll just back up a moment. When I got to California, I started meditating. And then I started to realize some patterns in my life, right? I had patterns in relationships from age 15 to 27 with women. And the pattern was around the 18-month mark, I would start to become super jealous. So when I started meditating, I was like, you know what? I want to heal this. I don't want to be jealous. I don't want to chase relationships away, especially when I'm in love with the person, because I felt like it was out of control. And it was. So I sought after someone that could help me. And I was lucky enough to found somebody in Sedona, Arizona. And I sat down with this guy. And within 5 minutes of sitting down with him, a deep cellular memory surfaced from my body from when I was 5 years old. And I was watching my parents argue the same exact way I argued with all my girlfriends. So my father was grinding his teeth and clenching his fists. My mother was like wild yelling. My father was yelling. And this was the exact same blueprint of all of my jealous rages with all of my girlfriends. So that was an eye-opening experience. That happened in 5 minutes of talking to this gentleman. And then all the jealousy started to surface from my body. And I was feeling it viscerally while I'm talking to him. Then that unlocked and released, and the anger and rage that was fueling the jealousy came up. Once the anger and rage unlocked and released from my body, then all the sadness came up. And then underneath the sadness was the fear of abandonment. And that all sunk in when I was between 5 and 6 when my parents got divorced. And that session changed my life. While I was in the session, while it was all happening, I had the realization that this is what I've always been waiting for. It was something so different, so transformative, so healing, and so fast. I was like, this is it. This is what I've been waiting for. And prior to that, I studied psychology, took my first psychology class in high school, loved it. It was my major in college, and I was always fascinated with it. And then I was like, here it is. This is what I always wanted to do. So when I left Sedona, Arizona, went back to California that weekend, I started doing the work on my own and with my ex-girlfriend. At the time, she was my girlfriend. So we were actually doing the work immediately. So it was something that was just like, I feel in my soul waiting to come through to do. And after that, there was like a sequence of events. I learned from a 35th generation Shaolin grandmaster. I learned from a few other teachers that teach their own kind of like emotional healing techniques. And I was a member in this group where it was in Marina del Rey. Every Sunday we were doing a free clinic, and like sometimes over 100 people would come, and we would just do the technique on folks that were coming in. And the team leader didn't show up. So the group asked me to be the team leader. And then it just never, I never looked back. From that point forward, the group liked how I ran the group. And then I started my own group. And then I started leading groups. And then it just went into doing that work in a substance abuse center. Then when I came back from California to New York, it was at Beth Israel Cancer Center. And then it just kind of like snowballed to doing that work in Johnson & Johnson a few years later. And then it just kept on snowballing. And today that's kind of like a little bit of the story of how it all started.
Wow, that's truly amazing.
Thank you. Wow. Thank you.
And with that, you know, here you are now, and you're offering, you know, some real important techniques and tools that can really, really help a lot of people. And one of those techniques that, you know, I would like to put out there, you know, your new suicide prevention technique, which is incredible, important work. Can you explain how it works differently compared to traditional approaches? And this is something that really strikes me, because we we as veterans, we're starting to embrace a lot of holistic approaches. And we like to know like how it empowers veterans in crisis. And as you mentioned too, it's a real good tool for like approaching any high stress conversation.
So there are a lot of at-risk communities for suicide, right? Depending on your age, right? Veteran status, members of the LGBTQ community, there's so many different really high-level risk factors for suicide. And in some of those groups, it's the second leading cause of death, right? So this is a real big epidemic in our country. Every year it's getting worse and worse. So it's not going in the right direction. And 15 years ago, I had a dream of writing a wellness version, a mindfulness version of the typical suicide prevention protocols, right? The commissioner of the New York City Department of Veterans Services invited my wife and I to this awesome event at Citi Field where the Mets play last summer. So we go, and it's a lot of veteran service organizations. And we're there, we have a table, we're talking to veterans, we're sharing our tools, signing them up for a year free membership. And I meet this the COO of this other nonprofit in Brooklyn that's been around for 40 plus years. It's called the Black Veterans for Social Justice. So we start chopping it up. And then he starts asking me about my training background because I've been training in different capacities for the last 26 years now across the gamut of different things. And he's like, "Do you think you could write a mindfulness approach for our suicide prevention counselors?" I'm like, "Absolutely." So after a few more Zoom meetings to clarify the program, what their goals were, what they wanted, I started writing the Stress Is Gone Suicide Prevention Protocol. So it uses best-in-class techniques to listen, to show empathy, and have sympathy, right? Never interrupting, how to stay fully engaged and fully present. We train our crisis counselors, the veteran peer support specialists, how to release the stress that comes up in their own body while they're on the call. So when someone tells you like they're really having a bad day and you kind of get stressed out from that, stress has like a domino effect. I call it like secondhand stress. So imagine when someone tells you they're thinking of committing suicide, your whole body has a visceral reaction. In order for us to be really present and clear with that person and truly empathetic, truly sympathetic, truly listen, we have to release that stress from ourselves. So as the crisis counselors in the call, that's the first thing I train people do, how to release all the stress as it's coming up, in the person, in the counselor. And then the really beautiful part of the protocol is we're not trying to fix anything. We create a safe space for the veteran to open up by just when they tell us the thing we don't want to hear, right? When they tell us, "I'm thinking about killing myself," right? "I don't want to live another day." We have these open-ended responses that just get the veteran to open up that chest of pain, right? And some of those statements are, "I want to hear everything. Tell me more. I'm not going anywhere. I want to hear everything. Please tell me more. What happened next? What's the hardest part to talk about?" That's a big one. What's the hardest part to talk about? "What's your biggest fear?" What's the hardest part to talk about that? So we cycle through these open-ended questions just to provide space for the veteran to open up for anywhere between 1 and 20 minutes on each one. Then our goal is to have the veteran empty the emotional tank. That's the whole purpose. is just to get them to empty the emotional tank. Because when the emotional tank is empty, that's when we could come to a place of clarity. So once they've emptied the emotional tank and we feel their core issue is on the table, that's when we start to reconnect and encourage with them. I hear everything you said. I'm not going anywhere. We're in this together. And then we start to guide them through an exercise to release the residual emotional pain, anxiety, and trauma that they're going through. So we have three main techniques. We have stressed opera breath work. So if the veteran originally called about just out of control stress, we bring them through stressed opera breath work. And they actually do this with the veteran on the phone. If they complain about anxiety, we guide them through the anxiety freedom technique, which surfaces the subconscious fear that's fueling all their anxiety, releases it, and then it regrounds clarity and their own essence inside their body so they feel safe to be in their own skin again. If they're having issues with a flashback, a traumatic memory that is just haunting them, then we guide them through the traumatic memory release technique, which releases all the pain and trauma from the old memory. And you actually feel it leave your body as well. So when we are done with the wellness component to the suicide prevention phone call, we are then scheduling them in to come in person. So right now I'm working with local crisis lines that support a local community, like a local region. And I'm working with local vet centers that have veterans coming in face to face to meet with their peer specialists. So I haven't worked with any national crisis lines yet that are supporting people all over the country. Right now, I'm really focused on the local side so that the folks on the phone can invite the veteran in so that this is not a one-time call, that this relationship and this counselor is in it for the long haul. That is the most important component, creating the relationship. The Black Veterans for Social Justice, they're even working on a service where if the veteran doesn't want to come in, they send a veteran out to go meet them at a local spot for lunch the next day, and they pick up the tab. So it's all about creating the relationship to then bring the veteran into the vet center, integrate them with a whole new set of services that are directly aligned with their real life predicament, whether they're having marital problems, financial issues, they're in family court, right? So they're getting the support they need, right? If it's substance abuse, if it's gambling. So they have all of their appointments set up each week and they have the support now coming up from underneath them. And now the really cool part is they start to invite the veteran to their events that are happening, and the events that are happening are more social. So now they come in, they become part of the family. In some cases, the veterans are being hired into those centers to take jobs. So there's a guy, Mike Damon. He's a veteran. He's an amazing guy. He's on Facebook, and he's a motorcycle rider. He has like 400 veterans. You know him?
You know? I know the name. So yeah.
Okay.
And I think I met him once.
Yeah, so he's like one of my veteran superheroes. Like I just I admire him. I think he's an awesome dude. So he rides a motorcycle over the country. He'll go visit a veteran, you know, that's five states away on his bike, meet up with him, talk to him in his house, go out to lunch, go out to dinner, spend time with him. He's got like 400 veterans on his suicide watch list. So he's in the trenches, right? I admire that. That's amazing. We need more people that are doing what you do, that do what Mike does, you know? And it's just, so he's doing that kind of work that he does. I asked him when I was designing this program, what is the most important component a crisis counselor must know to support a veteran? And he said, the number one most important thing is the veteran must know you care. If they don't think you care, it's not going anywhere. It's a waste of everybody's time. Genuinely care, authentically care, being in the moment, right? That's what I'm training these crisis counselors to do. Because if they're doing that job, they do care. But sometimes we get triggered and it doesn't come across. So we're really getting into the moment, getting into the trenches with the veteran, with the heart and soul of their pain, and then helping them unlock and release it. And then there was another really important thing I wanted to share that, you know, Mike had told me. and that the other veteran organizations that I'm working with are incorporating this. He also said that the veteran must volunteer somewhere at a place that they feel some kind of alignment. And if the veteran's in really bad shape, it doesn't matter where it is. It could even be at a food pantry, a soup kitchen, just to get them out of their own mental space, their own house, their own space, to get out into the world, to see some other people, to talk to some other people, to hear about some other people's problems. It helps put things in perspective. And then when you're actually pouring some soup into someone's bowl who's hungry, you know, that's just the start. And then you volunteer at an organization that you feel aligned with their mission. And now you really start to get back into the flow of life. Then you could start to get certified in something and really start to contribute and get a job in something that you find fulfillment in. And that's when a new purpose comes through. The whole thing is having a purpose. And that's the biggest thing. Because when a veteran, when you sign up, and you know this, your life changes completely, your reality. You are in the world of the military. You have a purpose in that world. Then when you come home, you are not in the world of the military. You're back in American civilization society. That purpose over there is a lot different than what works in here. And so are the actions and the reactions, let me say. Your reactions keep you alive over there, right? They're necessary. When you come here, now it's an issue. It's a problem, right? The reactivity. So this is all about reintegrating and creating space to find that new purpose.
Wow, Brad, you're talking all the right language here, man. And
thank you.
Yeah, you got my juices flowing, and like, you know, and you know, it's so much to unpack there, and you know, I just, especially with like the last part, it's so true. Like the whole aspect of like, you know, the purpose, you know, setting ventures up for success, the mindfulness script. In embedded in your suicide prevention, mm-hmm. stress is goal method for suicide prevention, you know, adding mindfulness, you know, into that, so that active listening is there, because a lot of times people don't listen, you know, you think people are listening, but they're not listening. And you want people to be able to actually listen, so that they can gather information and be able to, like, you know, allow people to empty out those emotions correctly. And once they do that, you know, you can be able to help them get back grounded, you know, and get to the core of what's really happening. And the fact that you got a whole wraparound system, you know, kind of built in with some of these organizations that you connected with, you know, that's beautiful, man. And I hope it reaches the national level, because there's so many veterans, and like, you know, we don't have that, you know, here in Wisconsin. I don't think, you know, your program has reached here in Wisconsin yet, and I'm praying that it does, because, like, you know. I know this is, you know, with like certain states that don't have a military facility nearby, you know, if there's such a disconnect, you know, with the veterans in the state, that, like, you know, okay, we're going to give some services, you know, the services are kind of limited, you know, whereas, you know, states like Texas and, you know, in other states that got military facilities on ground, you know, the services are like a little bit more driven. And they're widely available, and you know, you can get this type of local resources widely available, and so, you know, your impact is definitely being felt, you know, and I'm glad I definitely made the connection with you, and so It's going to help my advocacy here in Wisconsin a little bit more. So now that I know, and that's what it's all about, the knowing. And so it draws me to my next question with your success in various sectors, and we're about wrapping up here too. With your success in various sectors, where do you see the most potential to implement these techniques to really make a real difference? And I might have answered it, but maybe you have a better idea than I do.
I would love to see these techniques take root right in the crisis line counselor's career path, right? And right in the supervisors of 988. Right now I'm training vet-to-vet crisis counselors and vet-to-vet peer specialists. Right? I would love to partner with the organization that certifies those peer specialists, because we offer live training. We actually have veterans call in and we are live training where I'm listening to the counselors and how they're handling the calls. I'm listening to what the veteran's saying and what the counselor is saying. I'm going over reminding them to breathe, to get present. And I feel like that's the trenches of the mental health crisis in America, perhaps the world, suicide prevention. And I feel that the wellness and mindfulness component of this, and especially with the tools of the Stress Is Gone method for anxiety, trauma, flashbacks, overwhelming stress, healing emotional pain, right? It is destined to be a part of the phone call. And I know it is because it's happening now, because I'm training people doing it. We also built a mobile app, right? It's on the iPhone, it's PTSD free. And on the Android, it's called PTSD Keys. If you're in Wisconsin, right, and you sign up for the app and you get the app, you put in your zip code. If I sign up and train a Wisconsin crisis line, you automatically get connected to that crisis line when you hit the help me function in the app. So now you're calling a local crisis representative that can bring you into the office and make that connection, right? I'm in New York, but the way we're building this out is that it's scalable all over the country. And all I do is just offer the training. So I just train and certify the crisis counselors. They get trained in it. And if they are promoting the app or a veteran anywhere in Connecticut, they're downloading PTSD keys or PTSD free, they're going to have that ability to be connected to myself in moments of crisis. And we get calls from veterans and civilians in moments of crisis all the time. And we do sessions on the fly. But really, it's connecting folks locally so that it scales. So if any, crisis counselors are hearing this, any licensed social workers are hearing this, mental health counselors, therapists are hearing this, and they want to strengthen their tool belt for handling suicidal ideation, this is a new program that is amazing. We're having profound results with every group that we train. And it's saving lives. It's saving lives. And some of the trainee feedback, now trainees are veterans, right, that have called 988, that call the suicide hotline. Some of them have used it for therapy, right? When money's tight and you can't afford a therapist, you can't find a therapist. Let's say it's hard to get a therapy appointment 6 weeks out. Some folks are using that 988 line or the suicide hotline to talk to somebody. They're either calling because they're really in crisis, they need to talk, right? Or they want to get connected with services. So some of the people that we invite into our training, we ask them, was the experience different from what you experienced when you called the other numbers? And they said the biggest difference is that they felt the person on the other end of the line was truly present, truly engaged. And the healing exercise at the end was like nothing they've ever experienced, period. So we teach our crisis counselors to say less. One of the things is I always say less is more. Listen, empathy, sympathy. Less is more. All that means is we get good at and asking really simple open-ended questions, which get the veteran to feel safe enough to open up emotionally And then we help them unlock and release all the tension from their body. That to me is the gift of the work, the training, and it's just waiting to spread through the trenches of the mental health crisis in our country, in that suicide hotline crisis line. That's what I wish to see happen.
Yeah, that is beautiful. And, you know, and I can agree with you more. And going back to what you said, you know, that is a very true fact that, like, many veterans do, you know, when they can't get a counselor appointment sooner, they will resort back to that suicide hotline now, because, you know, many times it is on their safety plan. It's on my safety plan. So,
right.
You know, and I have used it in the past during the holiday season, especially, you know, when you're going to have long gaps, you know, where your therapist is going to be, you know, out of town, or, you know, on their own Christmas break or something. And it's phenomenal. You know, it's a phenomenal resource to have, you know, and it's a blessing, you know, and that you are getting these crisis teams, you know, prepped up to be able to, like, you know, take those phone calls, you know, in a more efficient way, in a more efficient way, to be able to handle the tough situations that, you know, that I guess, you know, very early on, that, like, I guess when the service was first started, that, like, you know, I don't think they were really, you know, really, they might have been trained, but, like, you know, now they can really be, you know, have something extra, a tool they built to really, you know, guide our men and women in the right direction and save some lives.
Yeah, and everyone that's in the field is amazing to even go into this field, because there's landmines everywhere. It's super stressful. Yeah. The first thing I share with the counselors that we're training, the number one most important thing is your mental health. Because if you don't know how to handle your mental health, and you don't know how to release the trauma that you absorb from doing the job, the anxiety, the emotional pain, right? If you're not releasing that, you're going to get burnt out really quick. So the cool thing is, in the training, they have to master the techniques that they're teaching so they could do it on themselves, right? So my hat goes off to everyone in the field, all of the operators, the people that are doing the text replies, the trainers, the managers, directors. I just want to share the first group that I trained. There was a team of six. The manager was in the training. He sent me an email 2 months ago, and he said that he was telling me what happened to him. He was on call, because they rotate who's on call on the weekends. He got a call on the crisis line 11 o'clock at night. He was doing laundry. He used the protocol, right? The veteran came in on Monday. Came into the office on Monday. He's integrated into their services. The veteran is showing up to all their activities. He said the person comes in with a bigger and bigger smile every single time they come in. And I said, look, he was in the gutter when he called. You got him on the curb. Now it's all about the follow-up. Now it's all about making sure that we put the wheels back on the car, right? And then we get him back moving, right? Back in the flow of life. So that's what's happening, you know, and I just wish it to happen everywhere, because all of our veterans deserve it. All the people that are in pain deserve it. You know, they deserve that inner relief. We all deserve that.
Absolutely. Yeah, here's a, you know, very, very interesting question. And, you know, we kind of discussed it kind of pre-interview here, you know, it goes into the community vision, you know, like. And it's going to be our final question of the day, you know, along with, like, you know, kind of asking, you know, where we can find some of your resources and how we can get in touch with you. You know, if you had a magic wand, you know, what would a world where veterans received the mental health support, what would that look like, you know, and what would it need to look like, or what would it need to look like?
So, and I smile, because that's one of my questions that I ask folks when they're coming to me for coaching, when they're so overwhelmed with anxiety problems, there's so many things going on. I say, if you had a magic wand, which one would you just love to let go of? So I love your question. Thank you for asking it. Stepping back from the situation, I feel training needs to happen in boot camp. And actually, before you go to boot camp, the stress is gone techniques are so simple, right? Knowing how to handle our stress before going into boot camp is essential, right? We have a masterclass. It's 22 videos. It's about 2 hours of content. You watch it at your leisure. Just imagine knowing how to handle your stress, knowing how to release the tension from your body. When something crazy happens, knowing how to process it. We were never taught this. It's all possible. It's all here in the Stress Is Gone Masterclass, the membership, the coaching, the retreats, the workbook, right? This, it's time. It's time for it to be out there. So to answer your question, the magic wand for veteran health, trained on how to release stress, anxiety, and trauma before they get into boot camp. It is also a module while you're in boot camp. It is also, there's a tether while you're deployed, right? There's team leads, right? And it could be 10 minutes or 20 minutes when a group gets together to work through the release exercise, right? This helps cleanse us. And then definitely on the way home, there was a person that I met, Villanueva, in New York in the Navy. He wanted to have me on a boat when everyone was coming back from the Middle East to do a number of weeks of just releasing exercises so that by the time they get home, they weren't carrying all that unpacked baggage and you're able to let go of a good portion of it. It never transpired, but I feel like it's meant to. Like that kind of work is meant to. Like on our way home, there has to be a period. And then when you get here, a 3-month program, a real program, right? It's with the pharmaceuticals, right? I feel like the VA whole health program is amazing. And I feel like we just got to start rolling the dice with all the whole health program stuff. And some of the things that are lesser known factors towards veteran suicide is a change in medication. Mm-hmm. A change in medication. And when you are in family court in disagreements with a spouse over time and parenting time with your children, toxic relationships, getting diagnosed with an STD, these are all things that increase probability of suicide. Okay. And also substance abuse and substance use. So we got to just stop rolling the dice and switching and adding and going to 2 and 3 medications at one time. Right. And I think, you know, in our pre-interview, you were telling me that was actually a turning point for you when you took stock in it and you started to own part of your own healing process. And like, hey, maybe I want to dial back on this. Maybe I want to increase that. You know what I'm saying? But like being an active player in the process, you know, that was something that I took away from what you told me earlier today, you know, being an active player in the process as a veteran, you know, not just running through the mill, right? Seeing what works for you. Does meditation work? Does yoga work? Does acupuncture work? You know, does mindfulness work for you? Giving it a fair shot, not just one time, right? Trying it for 2 or 3 months, see if you feel different, right? Learning how to express your emotions. That's what the anxiety freedom technique does. That's what the 4 steps to freedom does. Just helps us express our emotions. It is literally a protocol to express how you feel, right? That in itself. Imagine when you have the right tool in your tool belt to express how you feel, to vent your emotions, to let go of your fears. Changes the game with everything. Changes the game with everything. That's like breaking out of the bars that we're trapped under, right? You're breaking out of the prison cell with those tools. And I always felt a veteran, and if all the veterans out there, think about what you did and the tools you had. Sometimes you had great tools, but sometimes you didn't have great tools and you still got the job done. I feel like a veteran that has the right tool can do anything, literally, you know? So I just feel like I just want to do my job to hand the tools out and then y'all do what you do with it, you know? Bless you. And what you guys and gals do with it is like, you guys are beasts, man. Like you guys get the job done. You guys, you push through it. You go up the hill that's too steep for everybody else. You're able to conquer, right? So this is conquering like the inner demon stuff, but these are the tools for that, These are the tools for that. And that's what I want veterans to know, that the tools are here. We have a lot of really cool upcoming programs. If you go to stressisgone.com, you could see that. You just click on that little button on the top. It says see our upcoming programs. We have a virtual retreat on March 16th. We have an amazing certification program coming up that trains you how to be a meditation teacher that's trauma specialized. So you get to be trained in the suicide prevention protocol. You get trained in the traumatic memory release, and you get trained by me to be a meditation teacher, right? So that's a 3-month program. Veterans have a 50% discount on that. And if you still need more help to get into the program, just email me. My email's right on that page for the upcoming programs, and we'll figure it out. We will get you in. If you want to understand how to do this work for yourself and to help other veterans, I'm all in.
Thank you so much, Brett. Mr. Brett Cogger. Man, again, I can't thank you enough. You know, thank you for your service. You know, I know we get told thank you for our service a lot, but it's really the people who are serving us and paying it back forward to us that's helping us get through our day to day and return back to civilization. So. this has been a really enlightening conversation, and I really learn about some really important things that you're doing on the forefront, and that's really going to be something additional for many out there who's struggling still, and you know, and many who's looking for something additional to put in the toolbox. I'm definitely going to try to take advantage of what you got going on, and and hopefully continue to be a key collaborator with you, and on this battleground, this struggle, this illness, it's one of those things that just don't go away. You got to keep fighting. Gotta keep fighting. You know, they haven't found a pill to make it go away. There's not one thing. It's maintenance. Even when you have found some healing, there's still maintenance to do on yourself. So thank you.
Yeah, and thank you for saying that. I'm truly honored to be here with you. You can't imagine how much I admire all our veterans, all of them, past, present, and future. You brothers and sisters put your lives on the line for all of us. And sometimes, when you get out there, it's not exactly what you thought it was, but you courageously went out there to lay it all out there for our safety, for our safety, to get the bad guys, to keep us safe. And none of us will ever know what you went through, but I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. And I just want you to know that anytime you're having a tough time falling asleep at night, anytime you're feeling anxious and stressed, I just want to end with this simple technique, right? You take your right hand and you touch the tension in your body. For me, it's usually my heart when I get stressed out. You start breathing deeply and slowly. You imagine the airflow is moving through the tension, right inside the center of the tension. And then once per breath, you silently say, I'm okay. So the cadence sounds like this. I'm okay.
I'm gonna try that.
I'm okay. We'll do two more. And notice what your heart rate is doing and your breath rate. I'm okay.
Okay.
We'll do one more. Breathing right into the tension. I'm okay. Now that was 4 repetitions. I'm used to that. So I felt my heart rate drop down a little bit. Did you feel anything? Like your heart rate slow down a little bit?
Yeah.
So that's 4 repetitions. What we do is about 20. And what I say is if you could get a minute or two of it right when you're going to sleep at night, that'll create the muscle memory. So you could use that very simple technique when you get stressed out during the day, Okay. So just touch the tension, breathe deep and slow. Once per breath, silently say, I'm okay. And you continue until the tension melts away. All right. So I encourage everybody to practice that. That's a really good technique. That's the most basic technique we have, and it works. You just got to practice it to build the muscle memory.
Excuse me one more time. Sorry.
Bless you. Man. Bless you.
Yeah, I'm getting over a cold, everyone. Yeah, so, Brad, that's a great technique. I'm going to use that immediately.
Awesome. And I just want to jump in and say one last thing. There's like a lot of people that I contact for podcasts and stuff. And sometimes it's like 3 months later, they get scheduled. I just want to say our guy Marcus here is under the weather, not working in his normal office space, right? And he was like, yo, let's do this right now. That's how much he cares about you in the audience, right? Who's ever watching. He was like, hey, you got to strike while the iron's hot. And literally, we were like texting it. We were communicating on LinkedIn like just the other day. So yeah, man, I just, you know.
Yeah. It's crazy because I almost missed your message, man. You know, I almost overlooked your message. You know, I get flooded with messages because I sit on a lot of campaigns and, you know, and I almost missed your message. I said, how did he get lost in there? It was funny. Yeah. I said, how did he get lost in there? He's a good one. I said, oh, man, yeah, I got to get him on. You know,
and then today, I didn't know if we were actually doing the podcast or just kicking it for a little bit to meet each other. And then you're like, nah, let's rock. And I was like, let's go. Yeah.
We're going to rock, man. And we're going to stay connected because, like, yeah, I really want to continue to get to know you. You know,
likewise.
Hopefully befriend you after that. You know, I don't know if I got to buy you lunch, send you out lunch.
No, not at all.
Whatever I got to do, man, is like, you know, to reel you in, you know, keep you on my side. So
I'm right there. I'm already there. That's it. We're there. So right after we get off, I'm going to ping you with my cell phone. You got that? And then we linked.
All right. Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, my Transformers out there, well, thank you all for joining us. We're going to leave Mr. Collier's information in the episode description. You'll be able to find it there. Make sure you check out all that he has to offer. He has a YouTube channel too. You know, go subscribe there. Hit him up with some subscribers and view all this stuff, like all this stuff. And you know, definitely get connected with all his group resources and, you know, everything that he offers, you know, support. And continue to support our efforts here and spread it out the good message. Until next time, many blessings, peace, and lots of love.
Thank you, Marcus. You inspire me, man.